Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, fueling the mischief in the beautiful game.
Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.
The Republic of Ireland will face England for the first time in over 5 years next month. They've been drafted in as a replacement opponent for a friendly at Wembley. England had been originally due to face New Zealand, who pulled out due to travel concerns, while the Republic of Ireland were slated to play Bosnia-Herzegovina away from home, but complications of travel there too means that the home side were seeking a different opposition and the FEI were then seeking another fixture. So everything just fell together nicely for that game at Wembley next month. Delighted to say that we're joined by the Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny. Stephen, how are you getting on this evening?
Hi, Will. How are you?
Yeah, good. I mean, this fixture is it's a glamour one. I know it's going to be behind closed doors, but it works out very nicely, I think, for both countries. It saves a trip to Sarajevo for Ireland, and it saves England having a blank slate in their friendly schedule too. It works out nicely for both nations, I think.
Yeah, I think the concept of having three games in a window is a new concept, and I think you know, we learned some harsh lessons in the last window in relation to particularly in these challenging times in the current COVID climate. And I think the games, the fact that we have games in short proximity distance-wise, you know, Wembley, great game in Wembley against England. Then we go to Cardiff to play Wales in the Nations League and back to Dublin to play Bulgaria. So the three great games, I think, very interesting. I think we need to give ourselves the opportunity to have the strongest squad available. And by having an easier, you know, environment and, you know, for everyone, for all of the players and their clubs, you know, for us to be playing in England, training there, going to Wales, playing Wales, and then a short trip to Dublin really gives us a chance of having our best squad available, I feel.
Yeah, cuts down on the travel compared to the window you've just come out of with trips to Slovakia and to Finland. Ralf Hasenhüttl, the Southampton manager, was speaking at the weekend.
Yeah,
and he was.
I think that's the thing, Will, because I think that's overlooked. I think, you know, the players, to be fair to them, you know, it was tremendous, really. Like, they played 120 minutes in Slovakia, then flew through the middle of the night to get home. You know, some of the players that played on the Sunday, then that was a Thursday night, played on the Sunday against Wales. And then, obviously, we had the situation where, you know, so many players were ruled out as close contacts, which was incredible, really. So the players who played the three matches played 120, 90 and 90 and flew from Sarajevo in the middle of the night and back to Finland. So that's never happened before. That's all new. And I think you know, to be fair to the players who had to do that, no one complained. They're absolutely terrific overall.
Yeah, because I was just about to say that Ralf Hasenhüttl at the weekend was saying it was a big challenge for club managers getting used to this new international window, which is three games and the players away for a prolonged period of time with pretty quick-fire games, which is difficult in terms of keeping everyone fit and juggling squads. I'd imagine as an international manager, it's no easier than it is for the clubs having to get through three difficult games in a very short period of time.
I would never complain about that, Will. I think it's great that, listen, it's an amazing opportunity for the players to play for Ireland and, you know, for all the coaching staff to be involved. It's amazing. And to have one game in the window, two, have three is terrific. And once in normal circumstances, you just manage accordingly. And that's, you know, we're not complaining about that. It's the way it will be. Even the World Cup qualifiers in March are going to be three, I believe, in the window. So I think that's the way it is. And, you know, I've no complaints about that at all. But you just have to, everyone is in the same boat. You just have to, you have to plan accordingly. I think probably the difference in the last window was, for example, Finland in the friendly against Poland, they rested completely 11 of their team and lost 5-1. They just rested the whole team. And where we sort of played 120-90 going into the game. So there are disadvantages depending on the importance of the games. But you know, I think we're looking forward. There are three great games for us in the next window. Now, England and Wembley, Wales and Cardiff and Bulgaria in the Aviva Stadium. So the players have a lot to look forward to now.
When it comes to the England game, we had a few texts earlier on the show wondering about Ireland playing England, the potential impact it could have on world rankings with the seedings coming up soon. Was there any reservation on your part about taking on a friendly against an elite nation, or is that concern you at all?
Yeah, no, we considered everything. We deliberated and we considered all the possibilities. We took advice from the medical team. We took advice from all parties. I think the key thing for us was having our, like, we don't want to be going. Last week against Wales, we went into the game without 13 of our squad, 13 players. You know, we had, and that's not include. I'm not including, you know, the Troy Parrotts and the Daryl Lenihans who pulled out earlier. I'm talking about, you know, initially Seamus Coleman, Harry Arthur. Then we obviously, in the match against Slovakia, we lost David McGoldrick and James McCarthy to injury. Then we lose Derek Williams. And then the close contacts, which were, you know, Callum O'Dowda, Callum Robinson, you know, John Egan, Alan Brown. I was picking, you know, I spoke to all of those players on Saturday night at training and told them they're all in the team, told them where they're playing. They're all looking forward to playing. You know, Robinson, O'Dowda, Alan Brown, part of our attacking players. We hadn't got Aaron Connolly and Adam Ida because they were obviously in their bedrooms at home, in respectively in Brighton and Norwich, because they were isolating close contacts of a false positive. So it was outrageous, really. And I think, so considering all of that, and we only knew that morning, we had to get on the bus at 11:30 and play a match at 2:00 against Wales, who had scored 4 goals against us and beat us 1-0 in the Aviva in the previous Nations League. So they addressed to Daniel James and Aaron Ramsey against England. So they had rested players. They were very focused on their game. And I think for their players to put in the performance they did on the Sunday, having had the disappointment of losing on penalties, which was so disappointing to lose that game. And then, you know, it only speaks volumes for them, because we actually edged that game against Wales. I think they didn't really have any chances. We didn't have many, but we had a few key chances that we didn't take. And I think, So we probably deserve to edge that game. And I think we were, but I can't fault the players. They're absolutely tremendous.
You roll with the punches when it comes to the situation. But as you mentioned at the outset, that wasn't an ordinary window that you've just gone through. I would imagine, you know, you spend 2 years preparing yourself to take over the job. You know, there's a very important international window coming up with a qualifier and 2 Nations League games. You could never have imagined the disruption that you had over that 7-day period.
No, I couldn't, and I could never have envisaged that. And, you know, it's been a long week this week. You know, we're really disappointed, kicking ourselves really about that we haven't qualified for the Euros. It hurts. You know, I think against Slovakia, it is probably one of the best away displays from an Irish team in a few years. And I think, Slovakia have a very good home record. And I think for us to go and play as well as we did, obviously it was the players had to take on a sort of a completely different style of play. And, you know, they were exceptional, I felt, in a lot of the game. And, we're kicking ourselves because we had some really good chances in the game, and we know that, and the players themselves know that, and you know, but they gave everything in themselves, and you can't fault anyone. You know, I think it was a very good performance. To lose on penalties was difficult to take, but we have to accept that, and I think that's something that we have to live with.
The key is to try and turn some of these good chances that were created over the last 5 games into more goals. Is that something that you get much time to be able to work on, or is that down to individuals just hitting a piece of form, or What's the secret to trying to get these chances converted into goals, Stephen?
I think we need to get our best players available in the squad. And you know, I think when you're missing so many players, as we were for Wales and Finland, you know, 13 and 11 altogether, all of our attacking players who were involved in the game, it would have been like you're sort of taking McGoldrick against Wales, you're taking McGoldrick. We haven't been able to play Dave McGoldrick and Aaron Connolly, for example, in the same team yet. Dave McGoldrick, Aaron Connolly, Callum Robinson, Callum O'Dowd, Alan Brown, they were all gone for those games. And I think in the game against Slovakia, some brilliant play. I think in the game against Wales, some good play. I think in the first half against Finland, we had a lot of possession, but we weren't penetrating. And, you know, we looked at that, and for sure in the first half against Finland. Second half, we created quite a few chances, and obviously and the Stevens hit the bar at nil all. And I think, yeah, we had quite a few chances in that game. And again, they didn't have many either. Darren didn't really have a save, although Pookie had two chances in the game, from one from outside the box and one from an acute angle. I think but overall the attitude of the players were excellent. I'm not concerned about that. I know that we've got a lot of potential. I know that we've got a lot of good young players coming through. We've seen five players come through, you know, from our underage system, play against Finland last week. You know, Jason Malumbi, Dara O'Shea, who was outstanding, I felt, on the night. Aaron Connolly, Adam Ida, and Jason Knight coming in. There's more where that came from. You know, I think there's more players coming through. I think it's an exciting period. Looking forward to the World Cup qualifiers in March, preparing for that. I think we knew when we took over, you know, in the previous campaign, there was nobody under 28 really in the team, 27, maybe 28. You know, obviously some more experienced players like Richard Keogh and Glenn Whelan have been in the squad, were brilliant servants for Ireland. And had great careers, Glenn Whelan, great career for Ireland. But a lot of players, you know, still with a lot to give, but we've had to inject that, I think, with some really young talent and try and combine that with some of the experience that we have there and to give us to try and maximise our performance and give us, you know, a really strong squad that can play three games in a window and we can make changes and still be strong. And that's what you have to do when you're faced with that. And I think, so we're looking forward now to the next window, to these three really good games for the players to play in. They look forward to the games. And then also then coming into the World Cup qualifiers in March.
Much was spoken about the succession plan between yourself and Mick McCarthy, but given that you've been able to blood half a dozen of these players who were with you with the under-21s, were the couple of years with the 21s a beneficial period for you, Stephen, when you're reflecting it now?
I hope so. You know, I suppose I'll be judged at the end of my tenure. I hope it is. I feel it was. I feel it gives an insight into, you know, it's not what I looked for at the time, you know. But when it was suggested and I decided to take that challenge on, you know, with the under-21s, with brilliant experiences, obviously leading the group and in the semi-finals in Toulon and playing Brazil and all of these teams and with terrific full houses at matches, which was never the case. And, you know, all of the players became not household names, but well-known names in Ireland, which was never the case. That had never been the case for as long as I can remember with the under-21 team. And so that was all new. So some of them are coming through now. We've got a lot of good experienced players, or players, as we said, like John Egan and Matt Doherty, who have Premier League experience, but were very, very light on caps for Ireland. And they're terrific players. And I think and other players that we just need to get players playing in there. Some of our better players, we need to play regularly, like Robbie Brady. We could do it. Robbie playing regularly for his club, that would be important to us, you know. And I think would give us options. And so that's what we want. We looked at the last weekend at a lot of our key players, and some of them didn't play last week, but they've been in and out of the teams, a lot of them. And that's the way it is at the moment.
Richard Dunne was on the show this day last week after the defeat against Finland, and his belief was that Robbie Keane could add something to the coaching team and help out the strikers. You made the decision when you came in not to keep Robbie Keane from the previous coaching team. What's your feeling about what Richard said last week? Is there any possibility that Robbie Keane could come into your coaching team? Or in your opinion, have you picked your group now and that's what you're sticking with?
Listen, Robbie Keane was a great striker for Ireland, and he was important to Mick McCarthy for a couple of years as assistant manager. He was part of Mick's team for the last couple of years. I think Richard's entitled to his opinion. You know, Richard and Robbie would be close, and Richard's certainly entitled to his opinion. He's a great player for Ireland also. Keith Andrews was my assistant manager with the under-21 team, did a brilliant job, very innovative coach. Damien Duff has been absolutely, exceptional on the training ground. And I think they're two young coaches we have, and we now have a system. It was always said that there was no pathway for players, even apart probably from Mick McCarthy, none of that sort of Jack Charlton era, all those great players in Manchester United and Liverpool, and all of those great players and Arsenal, none of them were really involved very much. Liam Brady for a small bit as an assistant. None of them were involved over the years. But all of a sudden now, Keith Andrews and Damien Duff and Alan Kelly, who ex-internationals, are involved. And they bring a lot of, the very talented young coaches. And I think it's great to see them work. And they bring a lot and brought a lot to attack and play. And we just... As you say, in the Slovakia game, some of the players, I know they're disappointed. They didn't take the chances. It can play on your mind. We're only natural things, decisions I make play on my mind. And that's the nature of winning and losing. Losing, none of us like to lose. And particularly when the stakes are so high like that. I think, I'm still livid that Aaron Connolly and Adam Maeda were not available to me on match day. Mm-hmm. The fact that in any other country they would have been eligible, because 1.8 metres, that Aaron Connolly was, in Holland it's 1.5, in England it's a metre. And, to me that was absolutely crazy. I still don't understand why they couldn't play and weren't available to play, and I'm still sort of livid with that, really. But I think there's nothing we can do about that. We played the game. We lost the game on penalties. The players were excellent overall. They really played well. I think, I can't really fault them at all. We gave everything. Like some of the play was so imaginative. Some of the play was really to go to Slovakia and absolutely control the game for long periods. John Egan stepping out with the ball constantly was dictating the game, really. And I think they some of the chances we missed, or we didn't take, or I've been lucky in my career, and I've been unlucky at times. And, I think we're extreme. I believe you make your own luck over time, but I just can't believe we were quite unfortunate last week. And that's one of those things.
Yeah. And I'd imagine as well, Stephen, given that you've got a philosophy that you want to play, and it's very clear that Ireland have changed the way they work the ball, coming out with it, it's going to go wrong from time to time. Like you take a short kick out and it ends up with a goal in your own net last time out against Finland. But you must be quite happy, given that you've had fairly short windows to work with the players, the way they've actually applied some of the principles that you've been putting out in the training ground so far.
Yeah, we'll improve again. I think when we get all our best players available, we'll improve again. I think scoring a goal has never been an issue for my teams. With the under-21 team, we four against Sweden, beat top team Sweden. They beat Italy under-21s a couple of weeks ago. Three against Sweden, beat China four. With Dundalk, we scored in every group stage match, I think, bar one, and the Europa League. And we were the league all-time scorers, actually, the highest number. We broke the record for scoring goals. Then the following year, we broke it again. So I think as manager, so never an issue scoring goals, I think. And the way we're set up in a very attacking way, so we won't have an issue. But we need to get our better attacking players in the team. And I think we will do that. And that's why we sort of have picked a game in England, because with Bosnia, it would have been difficult. I think the clubs were Very frustrated, you know, with the situation last month. I think the players are under incredible pressure. I think the players themselves have to think about their welfare. You know, they had to endure two players actually getting coronavirus and another six being eliminated through being close contacts. So, you know, that has not massive knock-on effects for them, for their lives, for their careers, going back to their clubs. And, you know, I think that's very important that we try and limit the possibility of that. And I think give ourselves every chance of success, every chance of creating a good environment for the players. And certainly by taking those three games, we will do that. You know, we will do that.
In terms of yourself and in this job, you've now been, you know, in charge for almost a half dozen games now. You've had a few different camps with the players and a chance to settle into it. Is it what you were expecting? I mean, this is quite different to the 21s job or even Dundalk in terms of the national expectation levels, in terms of the media during the week, in terms of all that. It just kind of ramps up. How do you reflect on those first couple of proper windows you've had now as senior manager?
No, I have no problem with any of that. I think, you know, I've no problem with expectation, you know, except criticism, you know, that it's part of the job. You know, I've no problem with that. You have to accept that. And I'm used to that. I've been managing for 20 years now, so that's not an issue. I think we're just frustrated that we didn't win against Slovakia. That's the key match for us. And I think, that's made it a longer week. And I watched a rerun of the game yesterday, 120 minutes, analysed it. I think that's something that we have to live with. But we can be encouraged by the quality of the players' performance. We're talking about, we've been told our players can't pass the ball, that they can't, they're not good enough to play a certain way, and that sort of narrow viewpoint, you know. And I think, and that limited sort of viewpoint that we're only capable of playing a certain way. We're in the process of, you know, changing that concept. And I think the players really enjoy playing that way. They want to express themselves. The creative players want to show what they've got. And I think, when we get everyone fit and when we've everyone available, we'll gradually improve and we'll show our quality. And, I have absolute belief in a lot of the players, and really, really, some really good players. Some players, it's very difficult at club level sometimes. At some of their clubs, you know, high number of players in their squads. If you miss anything by being a close contact, for example, and you miss a few days training, you lose your place, and it's very, very ruthless in that regard. So, you know, we want to create an environment for the players that they're safe and that they flourish and they can collectively achieve things.
Stephen, your old club, Dundalk, have got a big night coming up tomorrow. They're up against Molde. First time since 2016 that they're in the group stages of the Europa League. It's a fantastic opportunity for them to play some big teams. I know behind closed doors isn't exactly ideal, but another great adventure that they're about to embark on now over the next couple of months.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like, it's for the Dundalk players, it's brilliant because they had the league cancelled for a long period. And, you know, there's 17, you know, a high number of players out of contract, didn't know where they stood. The season was such a short season. They didn't have a good season. You know, they found themselves, you know, quite a bit behind Shamrock Rovers and in fourth position. They probably hadn't been in third position for 8 or 9 years. So to actually, for them to, the players themselves, so to get in, and qualify for the group stages is a brilliant achievement. I'm delighted for them, for all of the players, because it's a terrific group there. And I think Molde, the following year, you're talking about the Europa group stages when we're in, the following year we played, it was different rules then. This year you get knocked out, you get back in. In 2017, it wasn't like that. That's only a recent thing. 2017, we played Rosenborg, who obviously be the equivalent to Molde now. And we drew 1-1 in Oriel Park. We sort of left that one behind us a bit. We went out there and drew 1-1 in Norway, went to extra time. And Rosenborg got got the winner in extra time, but they were a very, 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 very good team. But it just shows you, against Norwegian teams, you are capable of getting results. And it is a game that Dundalk can certainly compete. And obviously, I've not watched Molde, and Dundalk have been able to sort of manage players because they're not going for the title. So they've been able to take players off the other day and rest players and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully they can do well tomorrow.
Yeah, exciting challenge ahead. Stephen, just one final question for you in terms of getting ready for this triple header of games coming up next month. How difficult is it over the next while in terms of, again, COVID has changed everything, just being able to keep an eye on your players? I believe there's a really good kind of video resource that the FAI have, but it must be difficult not being able to get across to England to watch your players over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been very, very, very frustrating. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, now, of course, we watch all the matches on Y Scout, and we have some of our coaches have been in England. Some of our coaches, have been brilliant. People like Andy Reid and Sean St. Ledger, and Rory Higgins has been in the UK, a lot. So, certainly, watching games. We've obviously been watching all the games on Y Scout. We're not unable to get there because of the isolation, and I think. We we're able to watch all the games, and we're getting to see everyone at length. We watch nearly every game everyone plays between us, and I think we're watching a lot of games, and the championship was on last night, and it's on tonight, and so we're able to get a good look at matches, and it was interesting to see that the players' current form. Obviously, Hardy Arthur's come back from injury. He's played at Nottingham Forest, for example, last night. Adam Oida come on and was involved in the winning goal for Norwich. Scott Hogan has got back into the Birmingham team for the last couple of matches, having recently moved from Aston Villa. He's played. So a lot of players are losing. Chris Hewton's coming out of Nottingham Forest now, and Sirius Christie's playing right back there after his recent move from Fulham. So you see some of the games in the Championship. Alan Brown is playing tonight for Preston in the midfield. So watching some of that earlier. So certainly you get an opportunity to see all these games.
Yeah. Stephen, thanks so many for joining us on Off the Ball this evening.
Thank you, Will. Thank you.
That's the Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny. That friendly announced next month against England behind closed doors at Wembley. It'll be the second time in 7 years that Ireland have played them. A scoreless draw and 1-1 draws in the previous meetings. But that game will also be sandwiched in the Nations League fixtures where Ireland will be playing, as Stephen mentioned, against Wales and Bulgaria.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fueling the mischief in the beautiful game.
Gamble responsibly. CWE.net.
The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.